Power.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We are going to have a test one day to see how low Chris can go with his voice. How deep?
He's got a limbo while he's doing it. Actually.
That's right. He has to do the limbo. How low can you go?
Exactly.
Tracy Torme is our guest. We're basically having fun with Chris O'Brien, our co-host. I never have fun. It's like the remark that Q says to James Bond, I never joke, 007. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. We're talking about pop culture, but also the influence of Hollywood on the media. And I guess one of the overarching conspiracy theories has it that Hollywood is one of the mechanisms to engage disclosure. So you see things happening in Hollywood films, and suddenly that is supposed to represent our potential reality. What do you think? Are you trying to educate us that way?
Well, the rumor that's been going around for a long time that, you know, the government is ready to do full disclosure and they're using people like Spielberg and others to get the public ready to accept the awful truth or whatever. You know, that's been going around for so long. I mean, that's something Linda Howe was spouting off to me about 25 years ago that, you know, any day now the big disclosure is coming. And I was skeptical of it then, and I'm skeptical of it now. Because if my theory is right, then there is no single big disclosure. There's just this general truth that has been suppressed. And I don't really see, unfortunately, I'm sorry to say this, but I don't really see that momentum heading toward telling everyone the truth. I see the opposite. I see that they're just as clamped down on whatever it is as they've ever been. So I'm less and less optimistic that, you know, in my lifetime or whatever, we're going to get to the totally to the bottom of this. Unfortunately, I would have thought 20 years ago that we were pretty close. But I don't think we're any closer now. So I think that it's anybody that really wants to try to get to the bottom of the UFO mystery has to be very diligent and patient and take their time.
And maybe be a little crazy.
That doesn't hurt.
And maybe have heirs so they could spread their wisdom and have it carry through to the next generation. Unfortunately, there was no next generation, I guess, for Major Donald Kehoe. He was telling us back in the 50s, there was a silence group in the book Flying Saucer Conspiracy. The government would eventually realize the wisdom of telling us E.T. was here. And all his successors and his signs and everyone else said the same thing. And we don't see it happening, but then we have people like Jacques Vallée say, it's, you know, it's a whole lot more complicated because we've had UFOs from the dawn of our history, UFOs in antiquity, like his new book, Wonders in the Sky, with Chris Aubeck as co-author. So looking at it that way, if UFOs have been so ubiquitous for so long, you know, is there a secret any government can unearth?
That's a great question, you know. I mean, I don't really know the answer to that. And I'm not sure that anyone does, to be honest with you.
No. I think they know a lot more. That's why they're a lot more confused.
It could be. It would be really great to know what they know. I mean, to really, really know what they know. But recently there was a thing on, I'm trying to remember what it was on TV, talking about the plans for what SETI will do if they ever get a real signal. And what was interesting and disturbing to me was there were all kinds of layers of secrecy that were coming in of, you know, if they did get a legitimate signal and they knew it was legitimate, that only certain people in the know would be allowed to know about it at first for quite a while. And they would keep the information from the public and et cetera. And that's pretty, you know, it's pretty telling in a lot of ways, because you can't really be sure that that hasn't happened. You can't really know 100% that that hasn't happened. I personally don't think it has.
But that raises the bigger question, Tracy, which is, if SETI gets the signals, they can't tell you.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
So it becomes a joke, and what you would probably do to hide that information is to continue looking, or pretend you're looking.
Right. Yeah, that makes total sense, yes.
Well, that's the first time I've made total sense this week. You know, I keep trying, but people say, you know what, give it up, man, it's not going to happen. Is there sense?
No, you get there. It's definitely a possibility that they have, you know, come up with something that would be really eye-opening and that they're not sharing it with the world. But who gives them the right, basically, to sit on information like that? It's kind of disturbing. It's very totalitarian in a way, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And I think a lot of the information that's out there that's being held clandestinely or secretly is probably in the private sector because you don't, you know, the public doesn't have recourse. We can't file Freedom of Information Act requests to Northrop or Boeing or Lockheed. So there's a good possibility that all that's
happening. I was curious about something else involving our discussion of abductions. Has it gotten around in general amongst ufologists or people interested in this, the true story of Barney Hill and what he went through during his abduction? I mean, is that story, I know when it was first told to me, it was sort of clandestine. It was sort of wanted to be kept quiet. But I wondered if it's gotten around, and I wanted to ask you guys that.
Well, maybe tell us the story that we're not hearing. Maybe we can then determine that.
When Bud Hopkins was first finding his patterns, okay, he was very upset with the sexual angle of it because he thought people were going to think he was completely nuts, and he was not comfortable about it. But he said that, you know, everybody seems, they seem to be taking sperm and ova from everybody. And one of the things that was noted was that nothing like that had ever happened to Betty and Barney, or to Betty, Barney Hill. And then it just recently came out when they were going through some of the files of Dr. Benjamin Simon that there was one key thing that was suppressed from the book and suppressed from the transcripts because Barney Hill was a religious man and this was just too difficult for him. And he describes them, you know, artificially ejaculating him and taking his sperm and how humiliating it was for him and how disturbing it was for him, what a invasion of his privacy it was. But I thought, wow, you know, for people who think that abductions are fantasy based and that they're not real, what are the odds that Bud Hopkins finds that detail, is uncomfortable with it, and doesn't know that there's any connection whatsoever to Barney Hill? But Barney Hill went through the same thing back in the early 60s. And to me, it's details like that that assure me that there's some reality to this. It's just too big of a coincidence, again, and too off the wall. So when I first heard that, I thought that was really fascinating that detail had been suppressed.
Did they suppress it possibly because of the fact that it would just be too sensational?
Well, I was told he was suppressed strictly because he was so embarrassed by it. He insisted, if you're going to write a book about us, you've got to leave that out. And that was left out until long after he died and after Benjamin Simon died, and that's when this sort of fact was discovered. But if that's the truth, if that's the way it came down, that's quite a coincidence if this is all a bunch of nonsense. It really has an air of reality to it. I think that's really important.
Speaking of airs of reality, I guess some of the things we pick up from people like Jacques Vallée or John Keel is that there's a cultural aspect that what we see in UFOs mirrors our cultural expectations, so maybe we're not perceiving the entire reality.
Mm. Yeah, it's very similar.
What I think of that?
I sure do.
It's very possible. It certainly seems like there is a reflective quality to what we get from the UFO incidents. Like they're in some ways they're holding up a mirror to us. And that they are responding to things that we do, you know, sociologically. So I think that's very possible.
We have other possibilities to discuss. A reminder, if you want to post messages about various topics that interest you, we have forum.paracast.com, forum.paracast.com. Sign up and join in on the fun. Tracy Torme is our guest. Chris O'Brien is the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Hi, this is Tamar from Namecheap. We're a domain name and web hosting company, and we really care about our customers. With domain name purchases, Namecheap offers free SSL and free WhoisGuard for a year to protect your identity from spammers. Most importantly, we care about you. If you'd like to learn more, please visit us at radio.namecheap.com, radio.namecheap.com, for web hosting and domain name specials. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Namecheap or become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/Namecheap. See you online.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeSig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeSig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeSig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeSig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeSig.com. That's LeSig.com. LeSig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeSig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LeSig.com. LeSig, for today's modern smoker.
Forget everything you've been told about long-term food storage. When all hell breaks loose, you'll need the single most effective way to get high-powered Delta Force nutrients to your family fast. Like any Special Forces commando, you need a plan. You need a Black Hawk Down food plan. Introducing the Survival Sprout Bank from Solutions from Science. It's your countertop survival garden. Yes, grow fresh greens right on your countertop in just a few short days. Sprouts are the green shoots that emerge from newly germinated seeds, and they are powerhouses of living, easily absorbed nutrients. The Survival Sprout Bank is a complete kit with nothing else to buy. And with sprouts so easy to grow, even children can grow emergency food. Call 877-327-0365 or go to SurvivalSproutBank.com. That's 877-327-0365 or order online at SurvivalSproutBank.com. Survival Sprout Bank, your Black Hawk Down emergency food plan.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
Chris is trying real hard.
You're doing pretty well.
Yeah, how about
the Paracast?
The Paracast.
You want to try, Tracy?
No. Yeah, I'm leaving that one up to you guys.
That's right. He's the
Wait
singer,
till I do my
part of this
Paracast.
Trio. We're the three musketeers, too insane. You know, we have Insane, Insaner, and Tracy. Tracy Torme is our guest. I'm Gene Steinberg. Chris O'Brien's the co-host here in the PowerCast. We're exploring the more unusual aspects of UFOs, that the phenomenon mirrors our expectations. So we see gods in ancient times. We see leprechauns and all other creatures in the Middle Ages. Vampires,
succubus.
Werewolves.
Yeah, don't forget succubus. Maybe the modern succubus is like an alien hand job or something.
Well, I definitely think that goes into the lay territory.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he definitely has always felt that there is a sociological aspect to this, and that it mirrors our society. And Passport to Magonia is a book I remember of his that details all of the fairy-like, you know, encounters that he thinks were now connected with UFOs. And it's part of what keeps it interesting. I can't possibly say that I know that to be true, but is it possible? It definitely is possible, you know. So it's interesting to delve into stuff like that. It's like with the ancient astronauts stuff. When people ever ask me what I think of the ancient astronaut stuff, I say, you know, I'm a complete agnostic on it. I just think it could have happened. It makes a certain amount of sense, but we're dealing with things from such a long time ago that's gone through such a game of telephone over the course of the years, you know, that I don't know. I just keep an open mind to it and think it's possible, but can't really say that I'm a believer in it, so to speak.
Okay, yeah, and having said that, we just lost one of the more celebrated figures in the ancient astronaut realm in terms of how it might involve the, you know, the modern UFO, and that is, of course, Zechariah Sitchin, who just died recently.
Right.
And
right.
And Sitchin has taken quite a bit of knocks, as has Eric von Däniken over the years. But I find that the subject has legs. The History Channel 2 years ago did a special called Ancient Aliens, which was the highest rated show ever in the history of the History Channel. So they went ahead and signed a season of it. They did 5 2-hour episodes, which were immensely popular. They've gone into a second season. There is a tremendous audience for this line of thinking. There is a lot of speculation out there that we may be on to something with this line of thinking. I kind of doubt it myself personally. I think if something from out there coming immense distances would show up, I think it would be a big deal. It would be more of like a childhood's end scenario or an Independence Day, large ships hovering over cities, that sort of thing. It just doesn't make sense that you have such a clandestine sort of subterfuge going on. If it was something that was coming many light years away, there's just something that just doesn't add up with that. But the whole ancient astronaut scenario does have a lot of legs, and you know, I think it's we're going to see more and more, I think, entertainment geared for that line of thinking because there is such a big audience for it. What do you think about that?
I've seen those shows you mentioned. Yeah, I've been watching those. Yeah, it's definitely endlessly fascinating. It's a really interesting area, and it makes a certain amount of sense, obviously, when you look at our past history and the idea that we were influenced way back when. I just don't know. I really don't know. I'm 50-50 on it, you know?
And they found the daughters of man fair. In a biblical sense, you know, maybe
right.
We are a progeny of aliens. I keep telling people, hey, what do you mean? Do I believe in aliens? We're the aliens. They're probably more terrestrial than we are.
Could be.
They seem to be around a lot. So,
yeah. How could we prove
it? What do you think,
Gene? Except that we were seeded by microbes from meteorites from Mars.
That could be.
I always loved the Villa-Boas case, you know, where she grunted like an animal.
Yeah.
So maybe the reverse is true. We found the daughters of aliens. Fair.
Because I like those space women, you know. There's something about them. I always think that sometimes my wife's logic is from another planet.
Another planet, yeah. I think women are from another planet. I go along with that.
Okay, well, that explains all sorts of things, and we really won't enter into that. Let's enter into some more of the various permutations about the UFO mystery. And one of course, is shaping public opinion. And as I was talking here, I was looking over an article online. I look online just to kind of get a sense of what's going on, but also because it helps me with the research. And there's an article published this week in a newspaper in Utica, New York. And the first sentence, You don't hear much about UFO sightings nowadays, at least not like during the heyday of the flying saucer scare in the 1950s and the height of television's The X-Files in the 1990s. Do you perceive then, Tracy Terme, that maybe the UFOs have largely left us?
That's very, very interesting question, because, you know, Carl Flock, you guys know him?
We know of him, yes.
Yeah. He had a theory a while ago that they had left. He legitimately was going around with the theory that said something was here, they were here, they've gone. Wherever it was they've come from, they've gone back to it, and it's why we're having a decrease in number of sightings and et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. I mean, that sort of opens a whole can of worms as to whether that's true or not. And I don't know if that fully answers your question. You might want to rephrase it to me because I might have gotten a little off track on it. But
well, the key being then, if UFOs have left us, how do you explain the sightings that are still going on?
Yeah, it's usually in this field, you're not going to find one answer that sort of cookie cutter answers everything. So the answer is they've gone, you know. Generally, I would generally be somewhat skeptical of that because there's just so many permutations to the sightings and the record of sightings all around the world. And can you really say that they've really gone? I mean, can you really make that statement and be sure of it? No, of course not. But it's an interesting theory. It's sort of a linear theory that goes in a straight line and sort of, well, they were here, now they're gone, you know? It's sort of comforting in a way because it again makes some sense out of all of it. And I have to admit that as I consider myself a skeptical believer, so I tend to find that I'm on the skeptical side of many people on the pro-UFO community. I believe that phenomena is real, but I also have my own limitations on it or whatever. And, boy, I was going to make a really great point here, and somehow it's escaped me. What were we just talking about?
Right.
Sorry about this. You might
not
want
to worry,
this.
Not to worry, but we'll have to do our station break anyway.
Yeah.
We have Tracy Terme. He's a writer, producer. He goes back to the days of Star Trek Next Generation, one of those responsible for the holodeck. In fact, this is a holodeck. I'm Gene Steinberg. Here by holography is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MaineMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish at M10 gas masks are $3 for $30. And Swiss filters are $3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MaineMilitary.com has them. Plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179. 877-608-0179. MaineMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali C. Why Ali C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali C. For more information and to order Ali C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali C today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Kurt Seven, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
That was a holographic representation of Chris O'Brien, our co-host.
The real deal.
Tracy Torme is our guest. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. And we were just going into that theory, but then, okay, let's bring it to the UFO field. Obviously, we depict a holodeck in the 23rd or 24th centuries on the Star Trek Enterprise. But what about in reality? What if UFOs, maybe they're a hologram of some sort to divert our attention from that which is happening elsewhere? Because so many of the UFO events seem to be repetitive. The creatures come out of the craft. They pick up the soil samples. They go back in the craft. They take off over and over again. What do you think?
Yes. Yes, that's very true. That is puzzling and that is disturbing, and that's fodder for the skeptics again, that there's just too much. You know, I can understand that. And that's just, to me, it's just another sign of how this is such a multifaceted question and it's such a possible thing to get a real handle on. There's just so many areas of it. If somebody really decides to devote their lives to trying to get to the bottom of the UFO mystery, they could start tomorrow and still be working on it years from now. I mean, that's how much material there really is. You know?
Well, Richard Hall, for example, considered a very serious UFO researcher, he starts in his 20s, he dies in his late 70s, he's still at it, but he got nowhere.
Boy, that's depressing, isn't it?
It is. I kind of think to myself, I'm back to doing what I did when I was 21 years of age, working on radio.
Speaking of Richard Hall, though, that reminds me of Hynek. And, you know, I think that I got to know Hynek really well shortly before his death. I would say I knew him maybe 3 or 4 years before he died. And I had some great, great conversations with him and found him to be very engaging and very personable guy. But one of the things I also like to tell the skeptics is here's the guy who had the access to the most information and was started off as an arch skeptic and finally reached a point where he said, I can't do this anymore because there's just something to this. I can't go around saying there isn't any longer. And I do think, by the way, that the Zamora case was what really turned him around more than anything else. Why wouldn't the guy with the most information say, oh, this is all a bunch of nonsense and it's all fantasy and et cetera, et cetera? If anyone should have said that, it would be Hynek. But he said exactly the opposite. So to me, again, that's some pretty good proof that there's something to this.
Now, as I recall, when I talked a few times to Dr. Hynek, I didn't know him that well, I got the impression towards the end of his life, his viewpoint had gone beyond the basic ET and into maybe interdimensional whatever. What do you think? What kind?
Yes, and I think that's true.
Sure.
He definitely had expanded into belief. He was actually getting interested in the paranormal, stuff like that, towards the end of his life, too, and what the paranormal connection was to UFOs. But I definitely think he started to move away from the nuts and bolts thing and into a more esoteric type of beliefs. So that's also, you know, very interesting, too. I was really just very impressed. And actually, I don't know if you guys knew the Lorenzans at all or not.
Not in a way that I'd like. Jim Lorenzen was a great guy. Carl Lorenzen basically personified Krusty. The crusty
right.
old woman, she didn't like me, I didn't like her. Where do you go?
I had a great experience with her, actually, where I spent a whole day with her in Tucson. And I just picked her brain for hours and hours, and I got her on a good day, you know, and she was extremely friendly to me that day and very open about everything and just a walking encyclopedia, you know. I mean, anything brought up in the subject, she had a tremendous knowledge of. But I know she rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. I've heard that many times. But I had a great experience with her, and, you know, people like her and Hynek, I definitely think they're missed because the really great skeptics that I was hoping were going to come along really haven't materialized. I mean, I'm still amazed at how really lame so many of these skeptics are. They don't do good tangible arguments, which UFOs need. UFOs need good skeptics. The whole field desperately needs good skeptics. And I keep hoping that we'll find them, but it just doesn't seem to happen.
I think part of the problem with the UFO field is people are so busy fighting each other over much more trivial issues, they don't consider the larger stuff. They don't consider, you know, let's figure out what's going on, let's get to the bottom of it. Can't we get along? No, because they're selling their books, they're looking for glory, and they're not looking for answers.
There's another factor here, too, that a lot of people, when they get too close to the UFO mystery, it screws them up. I mean, they pretty much think now that they're part of a small group that knows the truth, with capital T, and therefore they've got to kind of look over their shoulders and check their mail and check their phone lines, and somebody's out there monitoring them. If I could count the number of people that I've literally seen go off the deep end who seemed reasonably together previously, you know, I'd have to count for a long time. That's one of the weird offshoots of the phenomena, really.
Yeah, I've known one or two myself
who literally
just fallen off the deep end with it. One thing I always wondered about Coral Lorenzen, and I've heard so many stories about how she was fairly difficult to get along with. I always wondered if maybe Linda Howe took a workshop with her at some point. And I probably shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry, Linda.
No, we love you.
We love you, girl. We love you. Even if you are the dragon queen of ufology now, you've taken the mantle on. But one thing that I think people lose sight of is the possibility that we are dealing with such a multifarious scenario that it's infinitely more complex than we could possibly imagine, that it's ultra-terrestrials, meta-terrestrials, extraterrestrials, us coming back from the future, subterranean crypto-terrestrials. Who knows? Maybe it's a combination of all the above, and there is no even a chance of a one-size-fits-all answer, that as soon as it's like going to the carnival and hitting those little woodchucks on the head. As soon as you hit one, another one pops up in the other spot. So,
that's
a theory I don't hear very many people come up with. It's like, what do you mean none of it's true? It's all true. You know, that sort of thinking. And that's an avenue of discussion, I think, that you don't really hear that much anymore, that everybody wants it to be so easy and so, one size fits all, that maybe it's just infinitely more complex than we could ever possibly imagine.
I know that you guys interviewed Jacques recently. Were you able to get to the bottom of his theories?
I don't think Jacques has gotten to the bottom of his theories. He's very good at what he does. He represents himself very elegantly and is very good at talking about these things without really divulging too terribly much. But one thing that he did say was he didn't really feel that there was really much hope for any sort of disclosure process, and that he did sort of lament and echoed in many ways what you've been saying about science and the skeptics and how scientists just aren't they're dropping the ball, and that we need to get everybody involved from both sides of the aisle, so to speak.
Well,
and
you know, and also to be fair to the skeptics and to be fair to the debate about whether this stuff is real or not, which of course is at the crux of the whole thing, you know, I'm disappointed that there aren't more videos. And I know people will say, well, there's been a lot of videos and, you know, whatever, and you can make that case, I guess. But with the proliferation of video cameras and the amount of things that were flying around here, at least at one time in our past, you would just expect that there would be some video that would just be captured that would be definitive. That you'd just see something and you'd know for sure that's a real phenomena, that's a real UFO. And I think that again, it might have something to do with the self-concealing nature of the phenomena. The phenomena has a way of cloaking what it does.
It's meant to be. It's meant to be cloaked. It's part of the plan, maybe. We'll get into more of this in a moment. Tracy Torme is the guest. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass, or alkaline water which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
You may not be thinking of lead and brass as precious metal investments. And you may not be thinking about ammo when we say battery station. But you should, because Battery Station has a large inventory of the most popular calibers. Just go to BatteryStation.com and click on ammunition. There, you'll see where Second Amendment patriots invest in precious metals for .380, 9mm, 40 cal, 45 ACP, 38 Special, 357 Magnum, 223, 30-06, 308, and more. Be sure to look for the October GCN specials in blue boxes, too, at BatteryStation.com. We shoot what we sell, and all battery station ammo is all factory. No reloads. You'll enjoy great customer service, great prices, and fast shipping. Plus, all orders over $30 will receive a free patriotic flag. So invest in gold and silver. But don't forget about investing in lead and brass, too, at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799 or go to BatteryStation.com today.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
He almost did it, ladies and gentlemen. Chris O'Brien almost got to the base portion of the spectrum. He's trying his best. I give him another 25 years, and I think he'll get there. Tracy Torme is our
sounds
guest.
Pretty reptilian to me, yeah.
Reptilian?
Yeah.
Oh, Gene Steinberg, you're in the Paracast. Chris, you were about to say.
I haven't done that one yet. I'll save that one for last.
Reptilian, well, you do the trickster, but that's not reptilian, is it?
No, the trickster's different. I kind of modeled the trickster after one of our original co-hosts, but who shall remain nameless.
Shan't be named.
Yeah.
Or, we don't want to go into all that. But I do want to go into this. If you want to express your views about this show or any show, send it to news@theparacast.com. Once again, that's news@theparacast.com. Okay, in the last portion of this episode, Tracy Torme, obviously UFO investigators are really not getting anywhere. Maybe the phenomenon doesn't want us to get anywhere. They just want to take us to the next level, whatever that might be. And we kind of think here that so many UFO researchers have come and gone. They've tried. They've really given it their all and sometimes screwed up their professional lives as a result. So, Tracy Torme, what do you think? How do we get to the bottom of this? Can we? Is this just an endless quest without any reward?
Well, because I believe there is a real phenomena, and because I believe that at the core it does exist, then I always have some hope in the back of my mind that someday that wonderful smoking gun will come forward, whether it's a video or an event or something witnessed by a number of people or whatever. And there's always the chance that that's going to happen, because if the phenomena is real, then there's always a chance that it'll be uncovered. Unfortunately, that momentum that it seemed that the field had going for it, going back to the Close Encounters days and whatever, where everyone was just anticipating this great disclosure that was going to happen, that seems to have come and gone. I mean, you just don't feel the momentum of that anymore. At least I don't. I don't know about you guys, but that's my take on it. So it's a mixture of being discouraged and encouraged, you know? You're encouraged because it's real and the truth shall hopefully come out at some point. And then you're discouraged because it seems like every time you take a step forward, you take two or three steps backwards and you're farther away from knowing what it's all about than you were when you started. And so anybody that really wants to get to the bottom of this had better have a lot of patience and some pretty strong mental abilities so that they don't succumb to the craziness. And I think if you don't have patience in this field, you've got to go get some, you know? You just have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or become one.
Yeah.
As someone who has navigated the highways and byways of Hollywood deal making, and you've been.
Say that again?
Now, can we get you maybe allocated or commissioned to fix up the UFO field? And if you have that job, and you probably won't take it, that's one assignment you won't accept, even if the message self-destructs in 10 seconds. What would you do to fix it all up?
Well, the first thing I would do is I would change my ways as far as how you tell the world about the UFO phenomena. You have to be careful to rein in people that are just going off the deep end, the Stephen Greers of the world, who will make every possible claim under the sun, because the Art Bells of the world, you know, Art Bell used to drive me absolutely crazy because he would just never ask a tough question. It's like you could say lizard men are landing in flying saucers outside my door every night and taking my bottled water, and he would be like, fascinating, that's wonderful.
Or he'd say, do you have any hobbies?
But so it needs sharp minds. It needs a definite pinch of skepticism. It needs people to realize that the incredible claims need incredible proof. I agree with that. I think that's true. It's just the PR battle is being lost steadily over the years. And, you know, when you look for a UFO book in a bookstore, a lot of times you have to go to the occult section. And that's wrong right there. You know, that shows you what a pseudoscience it is. It's not considered to be a real science. So that's one thing. Another thing I would try to do is I would try to enlist some really, really good scientific minds and try to get them to get beyond their fear of ridicule and to take a real look at some of this stuff. I love the Zamora case because there's multiple witnesses. There's burn marks on the ground. There's a great witness. There's a police officer with no imagination. There's all kinds of reasons to like that case. And I love to challenge skeptics and say, tell me what this was. And I've yet to hear anything that makes any kind of sense whatsoever. So getting people to face the really great cases and the really great evidence and to approach it level-headedly and with a sense of balance. I mean, now these are all things I'm saying that are easier said than done. You know, I'm not saying I have like the magic formula to make this all happen. But the subject in general needs to be elevated, needs to be treated with respect, and it needs to be seen as the greatest mystery of its time, and it's an unsolved mystery. And we should encourage people to get involved who have good minds, who can make some sense out of it. And unfortunately, there's far too few.
Yeah, and also we need to find a way to dampen down and somehow negate the pop culture programming that people, the up-and-coming generation is getting front-loaded with. There's so many just watered-down generalizations that are being force-fed, I think, younger people, and I think it's not being taken seriously by the by younger folks, and that's going to be a real problem as we go down the road in this quest and in this process. It's going to just wither on the vine until something lands on the White House lawn or you know, in Red Square or something, or in Tiananmen Square. I mean, short of that, I mean, I think you're right, Tracy. It's looking bleaker and bleaker because everything's getting watered down. It's not being taken seriously, but you gotta keep the faith. You gotta keep, you know, positive attitude about the whole thing. If you don't, then, you know, you're part of the problem.
Well, don't you agree that a short while ago there was a sense of momentum in the air that we were heading towards an answer, we were heading towards a disclosure, the truth was coming out, they were preparing everybody for it? I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that, and after a while, I just start to roll my eyes because I'd heard it way too many times before. And, you know,
it seems to go about every 10 years. About every 10 years, there's an ebb and flow, and as soon as 9/11 happened.
With all due respect to Linda Howe, I was friends with her when, you know, some of these clandestine people were contacting her and making her believe that she had been, you know, specifically chosen to tell the truth to the world and all of that. And I remember at the time thinking, I bet you it's never going to happen. And unfortunately, you know, I'm sorry to have been right. It's just a lot of manipulation of people go on in those areas, and egos get involved, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. It's a constant uphill battle, like you said. It's two steps forward, three or four steps back, it seems.
But it's worth it, though, you know? I think it's worth it. When a really great case comes along, what in the world is more interesting? I mean, you know, it's just, it's interesting from so many levels when you get a really good case to just try to get to the bottom of it and figure out what's the thought process behind it and what do they want and what are they doing and why are they doing it. You know, it's a great, great mystery, you know?
Yep.
So that should keep people coming back for more, hopefully.
That keeps you coming back for more. Okay, let me ask you, are you going to set up a website maybe someday that will allow you to post your thoughts about this? Because you don't really have a site now, do you?
No, it's something I've actually toyed with, and I probably should do that one day. It's something on my list to do things, yeah.
Definitely. We'll help you. We'll help you. Chris and I will help you set up that site if you need to. Chris O'Brien, where do we find more of the stuff you do?
Well, we live on a strange planet, and I have a website called OurStrangePlanet.com. It is a strange planet. It's your strange planet, and it's our strange planet.
Okay. A special thank you from my co-host O'Brien and myself to Tracy Torme. Thanks for joining us for a special, enjoyable episode of the PowerCast.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Tracy.
Thanks, fellas.
PowerCast is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the PowerCast.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.